Is that Baldur's Gate 3?
Do you design your own face in that game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everything.
There was everything. That's everything. Right. Everything. Everything. That's right. That's right. And like, I love that. I actually like any of those games, like a Dark Souls game, any of them, like spending like spending an hour. And it's funny too, because I'll be like, John, this is going to be the time where you just make a super weird, freaky character. It's like, nope, hot dude mohawk. And we're back. I'm here with Hallie, Sarah, and Kendra. Let's get into it. What a weekday. Western North Carolina has been devastated by Hurricane Helene, with catastrophic flooding wiping out homes, roads, and infrastructure. If any listener has an idea for how to make a punchline out of this, please email us at massivetragedy@crooked.com with the subject line, goofs. President Biden said on Monday that he will travel to areas hit by the storm later this week, but added that he would not make a presidential visit at the risk of diverting or delaying any of the response assets needed to deal with this crisis. Yeah, the last thing we need is Biden getting swept away in a flood. This isn't July. Vice President Harris also has abided by governor's request to stay out of the way, speaking with Governors Roy Cooper, Brian Kemp, and Ron DeSantis by phone, assuring them that the administration would provide their states with whatever they needed. You can keep your woke money, DeSantis replied, before adding, oh, I'm sorry, that was old habit. Thank you for your concern. It's important that the federal and state governments work hand in glove. Said Governor Cooper, I told the president that we did not need election officials that require a lot of security and attention because we need to make sure that we're getting the work done on the ground. It's like when I try to help write this show and Hallie tells me if I don't, it will go much faster and fewer people will die. That's unfair. That's unfair to me.
At least a few fewer.
North Carolina GOP Representative Chuck Edwards told Politico, the people in my district really don't want to see politicians. They want to see water, food, cell towers, and power restored, and the ability to contact their loved ones. Photo ops are not what's needed. Continued Edwards, unless, of course, Jimmy Carter got his 100-year-old ass down here. That'd be something. We'd trade the cell towers for that. We'd hear a motor in the distance and turn to see the oldest bastard in the world whipping around this floating Denny's on a jet ski wheelchair. That would help a lot.
Hey, happy birthday, Jimmy Carter.
Happy birthday, Jimmy Carter. 100.
You think he's 100. Watching?
Also, if anyone who works at the Jimmy Carter Presidential Library, please restock the Jimmy Carter 100 hat. I really want one.
We know you're watching. Oh.
Well, he makes them. Jimmy Carter makes them. He sews them.
Please hurry, Jimmy.
Donald Trump, however, attacked both Biden and Harris for not immediately canceling their plans and rushing to devastated areas that were unequipped to receive them, while continuing on his own regularly scheduled rallies over the weekend. Said Trump, I mean, if you're not going to do a photo op, why even have the Jews press their hurricane button? Yeah, like there is a lot of the amount of like conspiracy theories just sort of rising up from the bottom immediately. Like the storm is still unfolding and you see people online saying that Democrats have failed or abandoning rural areas. I saw people saying, thinking that like, I think genuinely believing that like somehow particle accelerators were responsible for this and that CERN had unleashed the hurricane.
It's easier than just admitting that climate change is happening. Like, it's like that. We're going to only see the crazier and crazier conspiracy theories as we deny it more and more.
I did appreciate, though, the logic of this conspiracy theory, because the person was like, I'm not going to Google that CERN caused or didn't cause the hurricane. That's ridiculous. And the man asserting this conspiracy theory said, what is a hurricane if not a bunch of accelerated particles? And I appreciated that.
Hard to argue with that.
It's hard to argue with that. Yes, on Monday, former President Trump, despite bipartisan requests for politicians to stay the fuck away, flew to Georgia for a photo op and what his campaign called a briefing on Hurricane Helene. Why would Trump, a private citizen, receive a briefing on the storm's response as the emergency response itself is unfolding? Great question. Oh, hang on. Would you look at the time? I'm late for my Pentagon briefing. Here's a photo of people building a brick wall out of debris from destroyed businesses for Donald Trump to stand behind at his little podium. They had no choice. Trump has a wall I can crash through like the Kool-Aid man right there on his rider. That is unbelievable. That all of these, even the mayor of this city, it's a nonpartisan job, said we would have preferred, obviously, he's in a difficult position, right? You don't want to. Like, he doesn't want to pick a fight with Donald Trump for coming to his city. But he basically was like, I would have preferred Donald Trump come later in the week where this is not the right time. Upon arriving in Georgia, Trump claimed that Governor Kemp had been unable to, Upon arriving in Georgia, Trump claimed, without evidence, that Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia had been unable to reach Biden. Like his fellow millennials, Biden prefers to text. This put Kemp in an awkward position, as he is a Republican that continues to have at least one last gossamer strand tethering him to reality, in which after a natural disaster, you may privately think through how to project strength, compassion, manage the politics, but you don't make up brazen lies about political opponents while people are still stranded and in danger. Here's the governor.
I just spoke. The president just called me yesterday afternoon. I missed him and called him right back. And he just said, hey, what do you need? He offered that if there's other things we need, just to call him directly, which I appreciate that.
Overcome by the feeling of liberalism, Kemp panicked, adding a quick no homo. At his press conference, Trump also offered this bit of wisdom.
Nobody thought this would be happening, especially now it's so late in the season for the hurricanes.
It is the peak of hurricane season. Nobody thought this would be happening, cried Donald Trump as the opening chords of Espresso boomed at the Sabrina Carpenter show. Unfortunately, it will take time before we know the extent of the damage across Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. But at least 130 people have died as of this recording. Millions have been displaced or are without power. Thousands of homes and businesses have been destroyed by flooding. I don't have a joke for this, so I'll share an embarrassing personal anecdote to ease you into this more serious part of the monologue. I was once on a toilet while Air Force One was landing, and I was so afraid I would have to ask the motorcade to stop to let me go to the bathroom that I considered whether I could pull off faking a seizure.
Also, you know you can't, right?
Pull off faking a seizure?
There's no way. Please, they would know immediately, like, okay, this guy has to take a shit.
But here was my feeling about it, which is that if I am on this trip, like, I don't get to go on a lot of these trips. Like, that's like, it was like a big deal that I was like staffing this whole trip. We're going in between. It was like, I think a 30-minute motorcade. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like feeling sick. Like, I don't know that I can make it to the end. And I was just imagining what it would be like to be for the rest of my life to have been the person that made the motorcade stop so that I could shit my pants on the side of a highway.
And like, realistically, if you tell the Secret Service you have to go to the bathroom, do they stop or do they just let you out and keep going?
I don't know the answer, right? I don't actually know what would have happened, but I had to assume that maybe like the van I was in would leave, would pull over, and we would just stop. We would find a place for it to, but like imagine that unfolding. Like somebody on the radio is saying like this van needs to go stop to find a bathroom. And like I was just imagining all of this and like starting to really have like incredible anxiety, sweat, and I'm just like, if you're having a medical emergency, you can shit yourself in a medical emergency.
Oh,
right?
So you were still gonna plan to shit yourself?
Well, there was the only thing
I
could
have done. Like, I gotta get away from.
No. I was just like, if this gets, and I none of this happened, but like I in my mind, I was like, oh, what is the only way? Like, if you're having a seizure and you have. Go like everyone's like, oh, this is serious. Something terrible is happening. It's sad.
And shitting yourself is no longer the headline. That's
right.
Like the subhead.
Yeah, right. It's a subheadline. It's something that happened because of the seizure. And I was like, how hard can I fake this? Because then you get to the hospital. They're doing an MRI. It's inconclusive. No one's saying you didn't have a seizure. No one is saying that. As long as you commit, no one's ever going
to say. No,
they're
definitely going to be able to say you didn't have a seizure.
I don't think so.
I looked it up.
I don't think so. I think they may not. They may have their suspicions. They may have their suspicions, but it's not like anyone's going
to leave behind like lesions or something.
Love it. No. I think sometimes you think yourself as like James Bond. I'm telling you, everyone at that hospital, everyone you work with, everyone is like, yeah, we know. You would tell them 2 weeks later, you would tell everybody.
I would have
You think I think of myself as James Bond?
No, the idea that you thought on any level you could pull this off implies to me that you think of yourself as a completely different person. There's
I don't
no
know
way.
That I could have pulled it off. I don't know that I could have pulled it off. I'm just saying you don't know that I couldn't pull it off.
You can
be suspicious.
I will invent a time machine and go back in time and tell you to try to pull it off.
Also, with stomach pains, I would have just gone with stomach pains and said, I think my appendix is bursting.
Oh, that's good.
Ooh.
That's an emergency.
And then you can go, oh, and you already were like that.
Right, right. Well, these are great options.
See, Kendra could fake a seizure if she wanted to.
No, I don't think I could. That's why I'm going with the appendix.
I really, doctors, put it in the comments, but I do think, what do you think?
So what actually happened?
Nothing. The answer is nothing.
David is not on the mic, and David would like to know what happened.
What happened was we made it to, we were like in farm country, like I think rural Iowa, and we got to the next place, and the president went up to speak, and I darted and I found a porta potty. There's a photo that exists where I like was having this secret
shame the whole day of like finding, I was just like, I was like having like a terrible stomach thing. And there's a photo of like, we were at some farm and there was some like a barrel or something. Anyways, I got in the barrel. Like, there's a photo of me like waving from inside a barrel for like a funny picture because unbeknownst to everybody, I was like dying inside. Yeah, I think it may have been my birthday.
It's like you're a cat that came to life. And it's like, you almost understand what you should be doing in any scenario, but it's like, no, I'll hide it. It's like, why? Just tell people you're not well.
Nope. Was the porta potty at the Iowa farm clean? David, who was not. Okay, back at it. Rebuilding these areas will cost tens of billions of dollars. Governor Roy Cooper said that the road rebuilding alone will constitute a massive expense as the roads will have to be hardened to withstand worsening weather due to climate change. One note, if you want to make a donation to help on the ground in the wake of Helene, you can go to votesaveamerica.com/Helene. The team has very quickly stood up a fund that is getting resources to organizations on the ground that are providing aid. So if you're looking for a place to donate, go to votesaveamerica.com/Helene and your donations will go to a few groups that are doing very good work. If Donald Trump has gotten his way, the federal government would currently be shut down. As President Trump tried to slash FEMA in disaster response, as President Trump responded to requests after natural disasters based on which governors were nice to him, and if Donald Trump is president again, he will point anti-climate zealots throughout the administration with a singular goal to undermine, privatize, and disband the agencies that collect and report data on climate change. Agencies like NOAA and the Office of Oceanic and Atmospheric Research. The plan also calls for a review of the National Hurricane Center to ensure it provides its data neutrally, which means not acknowledging that climate change is making these storms more frequent and severe. This is the less bombastic and more sophisticated, grinding daily work of destroying the world. Burrow deep into the Federal Register, close an office, cut a budget, slowly shift the terms of the debate. And this effort has worked. Look at this ad from 2011.
Hi, I'm Nancy Pelosi, lifelong Democrat and Speaker of the House.
And I'm Newt Gingrich, lifelong Republican, and I used to be Speaker.
We don't always see eye to eye, do we, Newt?
No, but we do agree our country must take action to address climate change.
I remember when I worked in the Senate, either right before I joined or right when I had joined Hillary Clinton's Senate office, Hillary Clinton went to Alaska on a bipartisan trip with John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Susan Collins. It was a trip about, or at least in part about, what was happening with climate change. They spoke to like people that were running sled dogs about how much warmer it had gotten, how they didn't need gloves, about all the problems that were already happening because of climate change. There was a ton of denialism, like the influence of industry groups, the ideological groups, the think tanks. Like, it was, of course, there. The fact that John McCain and Newt Gingrich were, and Lindsey Graham, who is just a wraith who follows around a big man. In this case, it was John McCain, now Trump. Like, the fact that Newt Gingrich was doing this was a story because Republicans had been so hostile to climate change. But this was happening. Like, there was a place inside of what the Republican Party for acknowledging and addressing climate change. This is where the Republican Party is now.
They don't ever talk about the environment anymore. You know why? Mike is saying, don't talk about it now. No, it's one of the great scams of all time. You know why they don't talk about it? Because people aren't buying it anymore.
By the way, good luck, Mike, on getting Trump to not talk about something. You're trying to put a leash on a garter snake with this one. Every other issue aside, 2024 is the climate election. I know it can be exhausting hearing that every election is a hinge point for civilization, but unfortunately, that's what it is. Right now, the floor is lava. Maybe it won't always be. Maybe we defeat this brand of extremism so thoroughly that craven Republicans moderate, not out of some ethical obligation, but out of survival. But until then, lava. It's lava. Ugh, this isn't the pep talk I'd hope it'd be. Well, we need a distraction. Kendra, do you have any strong, surprising opinions about skeet shooting at country clubs?
No. I'm sorry.
Damn.
To be clear, the reason that I learned how to shoot is because, and Charlotte can vouch for this, at Oberlin, there was a sign on the door of our dance club that said, please do not bring your firearm in here. And that scared the fuck out of me because suddenly I was in a place where like, oh, there could just be a firearm here. And the only thing is like, please don't bring it in here. So I was like, I guess I better learn how to use one of these things in case it drops on the floor while we're dancing to Rihanna.
Oberlin?
Yeah.
It's Ohio, baby.
Yeah.
Huh. Lena Dunham's Oberlin?
Yeah.
J.D. Vance's Ohio.
And then when I went to the gun range with my friends, we were turned away by a man who definitely would have described our presence as, guess what, a nigger, a fat girl, and a Jew walked into this gun range.
I don't even know the punchline, but I'm laughing.
I'm sorry. You know, was that something you imagined he would say or something that was said?
Oh, the vibe was definitely there.
Oh. Just
have you been to Ohio?
Yeah, really?
I've been to Ohio. I just was not expecting a hard R N-word during this recording.
There we go. We got there.
Yeah. Okay.
Look
well,
alive. Love it.
All right. It's hard. Yep. Oberlin.
A department store in Ohio called Lazarus, but it's gone now.
There's another one called Hallie.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Hi, I'm Alex Wagner. I do not need to tell you that being an American right now is a wild ride. But as a longtime journalist, I am not interested in the noise or the fear-mongering. I'm interested in the stories at the heart of the headlines. That is why every week on my show, Runaway Country, I'm joined by folks in the middle of the crossfire. From disillusioned MAHA moms to newly fired immigration judges to Epstein victims themselves, to understand what it means to live through this political chaos as an actual human being. And now I'm excited to tell you that Runaway Country is available ad-free to Friends of the Pod subscribers. Friends of the Pod is the subscription that supports the work Crooked does as an independent media company and gives you a ton of great bonus and ad-free content. With the midterms approaching, you are going to need more content to keep you sane. And now you can find Runaway Country right there. Subscribe now at crooked.com/friends.
Hi, my name is Mitch Landrieu.
My name is Erin Haynes.
My name is Jennifer Palmieri, and we're hosting a new series called Long Play. The South is the new political epicenter of the country. Democrats are way on their heels in this region, but Republicans are going through their own reckoning in the South, too.
I mean, the South has always shaped American politics. We know that.
The stakes could not be higher, but to win the South, you have to understand it.
People in the South feel really misunderstood, left behind, put down on, and they want to explain that to somebody.
We're traveling across 6 southern states to explore the people, the issues, the assumptions that no longer hold, and what the rest of us are missing about a region that will shape the future of our politics and our country. From Left, Right, and Crooked Media, starting July 27th, watch Long Play Series on YouTube at youtube.com/longplayseries or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It hardly seems worth mentioning at this point, but Trump also called for the purge this weekend.
One rough hour, and I mean real rough, the word will get out and it will end immediately. End immediately. You know, it'll end immediately.
I do think it's worth like parsing what the it is here, right? Because like this week we learned that once again, violent crime is down and falling. So what is the it that gets all the applause? And I think the it is their response to videos playing on Fox News of like property theft, of like department stores and stores being robbed in cities. It's videos of homeless people in San Francisco, and it's people not liking that items at CVS are locked behind a little plastic door now. And look, I don't think any of us like having to press the button and wait for a stranger to come to the wall of fiber gummies and deodorant so that you can gesture at the items of which your need reflects the unspoken reality of your disgusting corpus. No. No, we don't. All right, we can go. Keep going. I got it.
It is all the most embarrassing items. Yeah. Like, it's all the most intimate. It's razors. Like, yeah. It's like, I'm sorry. It's for my body.
Sorry, I'm a hairy, stinky beast.
Oh, I'm gross.
And because Target doesn't want to pay people anymore, there's no one to open them.
Right.
It's one person.
I do think that, like, there is something about the like, it's like, of course, the fact that we go into these stores and press these buttons to wait for some person who hates fucking being there to come deal with this issue, and then you go and do these awful self-checkouts while with a person there who all, like, it all is like a reflection of a problem, but like not the problem they're talking about. Like, no, we all actually collectively chose that we wanted cheaper items from massive chains than going to like local pharmacies that were smaller, had fewer selections, were more expensive. Like, we all collectively chose this. We all, like, self-checkout is just a way for them to pay fewer people. And by the way, they know that there's some amount of loss that comes with having self-checkout. It just costs them less money than having a person actually ring out the items. Like, we are choosing this kind of impersonal interaction, these terrible, like, kind of reducing the retail experience, like removing the human aspect, the social aspect out of so much of what happens, even when we leave our phones and leave our computers. Like, we're all collectively choosing this, and it does make life worse, but this is not the reason. Like, the wall of items is the button thing. This is a way of having fewer people working at this store.
I do think we're halfway there, and we should just go back to the old general store model of mm-hmm. you come in with a list and there's one person behind the counter and they go get your twine off the shelf or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you need.
Yeah. The old model, the general store model. Yeah. Like, every once in a while, like, there's like an old school hardware store in my old neighborhood. And like one of those like hardware stores from the pre-Home Depot era where it's small and yet they have everything somehow, and you just like go to a person who knows every single way to fix every single thing, and you're like, hey, I need this one kind of screw, and like you walk down an aisle and then there's a little section that's for that exact kind of screw you would never have found in a million years.
Home Depot actually used to be like that.
Yes.
Where you could walk into the Home Depot, which I know because we built two ponds in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could like walk into the Home Depot and every person there knew how to do something.
They hired like retired, like older people who like knew how to build, like construction people and contractors and builders. And like they hired those kinds of guys and they just stopped doing it.
Also, we got to start calling it sundries again. You go in for your sundries.
Yeah. Yeah.
I grew up going to a Five and Dime. Wow. There was one in my town.
Trump also called the president and vice president mentally disabled. Funny. Get back on the fucking script.
Joe Biden became mentally impaired. Kamala was born that way. Okay. She was born that way. And if you think about it, only a mentally disabled person could have allowed this to happen to our country. Anybody would know this.
Well, I really regret buying this Born This Way merch from the official Trump site. That was a blunder. I just wanted to get my paws up, you know?
I just want to point out that the name of this town is Prairie Dog, Wisconsin, but in French.
Wait. Oh.
Isn't it?
Wow. Yeah. Classy. Yeah.
That's cool. I like that.
Just a like prairie that. Dog, a little beret.
There's
touch of elegance.
There's somebody inside of the touch of elegance. There's somebody inside of the Trump machine that is writing him just true jokes, like structured. Either maybe they have some comedy person is like submitting, because that there was that line the other day where he's like, I want to go to the fryer to see where Kamala didn't work, you know, or this line of like, Joe Biden got mentally impaired, but Kamala was born dumb, like that kind of stuff. Like these are structured jokes he's trying to do.
But I like how it's like they're not jokes. They're just, they're sentences written like what he would have been capable of 4 years ago. It's still not a joke by any stretch of the imagination.
But it's a talented ghostwriter.
And I want to be clear, that's, I agree with you, just because like even a month ago, he wasn't doing this. Like, yeah, he was much more incoherent recently.
It's a very specific kind of joke, though. It's like a very like Catskills kind of joke. Like, you know, it's like the, like, I may be fat, but you're ugly and I can lose weight. That kind of joke, you know, like that's the vibe.
I think it does speak to how there aren't enough comedy writing jobs right now. And people mm-hmm. are getting desperate.
Oh, that's yeah. a really good point. Yeah.
Trump also claimed to have a better body than President Biden.
I could have been sunbathing on the beach. You have never seen a body so beautiful. Much better than Sleepy Joe.
Gentlemen, please, for the last time, you're both ultra-fuckable. You hate to see one perfect 10 tearing down another perfect 10 like this. It makes the nines like me feel bad. I like that this is Trump making fun of how he looks. His body is like one of the few areas where he allows himself to be self-deprecating. He does it. He fairly often like make fun of his own, like, I look good in a bathing suit. Like, but he's joking. He knows he's a disgusting, disgusting man. But he couldn't help but then also say he looks better than Joe Biden, mm-hmm. which then kind of undoes the good work he's done to be self-deprecating even for a moment earlier.
He has said multiple times that he's better looking than Kamala. And that's what it's like, all right, kidding. You're overplaying your hand.
I think he's kidding. He knows he's not better looking.
I don't know
what
that man knows anymore. I don't know. Why even bring it up? Why compare yourselves? You're drawing the everyone's eye is visualizing you next to each other.
I never look for a deeper meaning in anything he says because he's straightforward.
He's very candid. You're right.
I'm realizing the town name is actually Prairie of Dogs. I don't know.
Wasn't that just how French people do it?
Yeah.
Prairie of Dogs. Dog prairie. Speaking of a fuckability contest, the vice presidential debate is headed our way tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern when Tim Walz and J.D. Vance will square off at the CBS Broadcast Center in New York City. After tonight, I'll hopefully be able to tell them apart. Almost like a blast from a pre-Trump past, we have stories with background sources trying to lower expectations. According to CNN, Walz is reportedly very nervous. Smart, setting expectations low, a classic football tactic, I assume. Come on, Tim Walz. You got this. You're gonna do great. Fuck. Who gives the pep talk to the pep talk guy? Who peps the peppers?
Usually Connie Britton.
Connie Britton. We need Connie Britton. According to a dozen campaign staffers speaking anonymously to CNN, Walz is afraid of letting Harris down with a botched debate as he does not have Vance's Yale credentials. But Tim does have one secret advantage, a worldview that doesn't make every woman in America recoil as if a bat just flew into her face. And finally, singer and actor Kris Kristofferson passed away this weekend. He is survived by his wife, Kristofferson. In addition to his groundbreaking country music career, Kris Kristofferson appeared in numerous films, including 1977's A Star is Born with Barbara Streisand. That version is regarded by many critics as the one where the main guy doesn't piss himself at the Grammys. Kristofferson was an awesome dude. For example, Sinead O'Connor, after she protested the cover-up of child sexual abuse by the Catholic Church by ripping up a photo of the Pope on SNL, faced a ton of backlash. Kristofferson introduced O'Connor as a figure of integrity and courage at Madison Square Garden 2 weeks later. She was booed. He was supposed to leave the stage. He didn't. He stood with her and, like, supported her while she was performing. So, hey, I have a joke.
Okay, great.
Finally.
Kris Kristofferson arrives in heaven.
Okay.
Who does he see? He sees Sinead O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Kris is like, hey, Sinead. Sinead's like, hey, Kris.
That's nice.
Sinead O'Connor's like, you want to come beat up the Pope with me?
Okay.
I do it every day. And Kris Kristofferson's sort of confused. He's like, wait, what do you mean the Pope? I'm surprised to see the Pope here. I wouldn't have thought he would have gotten into heaven. And Sinead O'Connor's like, this isn't his heaven. This is our heaven. Ah. And then Ruth Bader Ginsburg comes in and goes, Wakanda forever.
All right. Now I'm on board. Hey,
right?
R.I.P., huh?
I thought it was good. I like Kris Kristofferson. The singer was also famously known on Love It or Leave It as someone I thought had died already.
Yes, famously.
So the lowly curse strikes again. It's the same thing that happened to Qasem Soleimani. Yikes. Turns out I was actually thinking of Toby Keith, who reportedly had an altercation with Kristofferson during a Willie Nelson birthday concert, recorded in a 2009 Rolling Stone profile, written, of course, by Ethan Hawke. Keith allegedly told Kristofferson, an Army veteran, not to play that, quote, lefty shit during a set. This pissed Kristofferson off, who screamed at him, have you ever served your country? The answer is no, you have not. Have you ever killed another man? Have you ever taken another man's life and then cashed the check your country gave you for doing it? No, you have not, so shut the fuck up. Sorry, Toby, but you just got dis-Kristofferson'd. Kristofferson later said he had no memory of the incident, though admitted his wife did. And in some ways, that's even cooler. The singer was 88, leaves behind 8 children and 7 grandchildren. He will be Miss Kristofferson. All right. Before we go, it is time to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cold glass of Heinz ketchup because Love It or Leave It is headed to beautiful Pittsburgh at the Roxy and Theater. We'll be there on Friday, October 4th. We'll help take the edge off the last few laps for Election Day with Matteo Lane, hilarious comedian, the playwright R. Eric Thomas returns, and PA's own congressional candidate, Chanel Stelson. We want the Roxy Inn to be as stuffed with lowly fans as your sandwiches are stuffed with french fries. So please grab your tickets now at crooked.com/events. We're very excited. I'm very excited to go back to Pittsburgh. That show's almost sold out, so last chance to get those tickets. Also, make sure you're subscribed to our daily news pod, What a Day, to get a recap of the vice presidential debate. You can wake up first thing tomorrow and hear a 20-minute overview of the highs and lows of the Walz-Vance showdown, or head to What a Day's YouTube for the video version. That's our show. Thank you so much to Hallie, Sarah, and Kendra.
Woo.
Once again, you can go to votesaveamerica.com/Helene to support our Helene Fund. That is sending money to groups on the ground doing good work. The team has vetted and is adding organizations to make sure that we're sending the money to the places that are going to do the most good. So votesaveamerica.com/Helene. And with that, see you sluts on Saturday. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Chris Lord is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus and Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, Will Miles, and Mohamed El-Sheikhi are our writers. Evan Sutton is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. And Milo Kim is our videographer. Our theme song is written and performed by Sure Sure. Thanks to our designer, Bernardo Serna, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast, and to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, and Matt DeGroat, for filming and editing video each week so you can.
It's Love It or Leave It.
Speaking of two perfect tens, the vice presidential debate is headed our way. Well, that's sort of mean to Tim. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on.
Speaking of two men I'd fuck. Oh, yeah. Take your time with that sneeze, brother. Really lean into it. What the fuck? Just enjoy it. Just a sumptuous sneeze.
I'm not trying to drag it out. It's not coming.
You gotta look at the light.
That makes it go away.
No, that makes it go faster.
Well, now it's done.
Hi, my name is Mitch Landrieu.
My name is Erin Haynes.
My name is Jennifer Palmieri, and we're hosting a new series called Long Play. The South is the new political epicenter of the country. Democrats are way on their heels in this region, but Republicans are going through their own reckoning in the South, too.
I mean, the South has always shaped American politics. We know that.
The stakes could not be higher, but to win the South, you have to understand it.
People in the South feel really misunderstood, left behind, put down on, and they want to explain that to somebody.
We're traveling across six southern states to explore the people, the issues, the assumptions that no longer hold, and what the rest of us are missing about a region that will shape the future of our politics and our country. From Left, Right, and Crooked Media, starting July 27th, watch Long Play Series on YouTube at youtube.com/longplayseries or listen wherever you get your podcasts.